That's first of all, are you ready to enter pretend land?
I think so.
It's a magical place with little frogs and little top hats on.
Do I have to wear pants?
The Occasional Dose of Fat, show number 104 for June 10th, 2016.
And here it comes! It's the beginning of the 104th show of the interweb's most exciting hour of Fat Bike content and prizes! The Occasional Dose of Fat, Sven and Gomez, come on down!
Thanks, Rod Lengthy. It's good to be here.
We interrupt this program with an announcement from the Bush family. This just in. Got a machine head. Green to red. That's Ben Bush.
Bush.
The Bush family.
You mean the painters. Now known as Bush.
No, he has a machine head. Yeah, better than the rest.
Got a machine head better than the rest.
They were painters.
Rest.
That's what they green did when red. They weren't
no,
rock
he was,
stars.
Yeah. Well, no, they... We're not going to go into my conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theorist rant here now.
And to my right is our color man, who is under a left-eyed gypsy curse, J.K. Livid.
Hello, everyone.
It sounded like J.K. Livid before.
Oh, yeah, no shit.
Hey, the weekly
and
dose.
And another thing I can tell you.
The weekly dose of fat is brought to you by the Surly Pugsley. Yeah, that's right, boys and girls. I said it. Surly Pugsley.
Learn more about bikes and freedom at surlybikes.com.
Hey, how about that new Gnome dance party groove from our music director, Mr. Chris Daisy of Zion Cyclery?
Dude.
We'll put up an unducked version of that after the show so you can dance to the groove.
Chick-a-pow.
Hey. What's on the show this week, JK?
Why do we have to be the girls? Why can't we get real girls?
I don't know.
Why can't we get real girls?
I'm Ron Burgundy right now. We start off the show with the event of the week. We welcome Team Fatback's true secret weapon, ace mechanic Jeff Gilmore, to the program this evening.
Jeff.
We check in with the Fatty Farm Field Report, brought to you by Quiring Cycles. The Quiring Triple B is the fattest ride on two wheels, featuring a new generation of 5.05-inch tires. Visit Quiring.net to see the next level of bicycle exploration. We'll take calls from our listener. Third time he calls, we'll receive a Surly Rally Sport Package, plus every caller gets a sample of Capybara. We talk about handlebars and how to properly tune your bar for the ultimate shreddability. Plus, they make a great elk bugle.
Specialized.
And in this evening's special segment, After Hours, we share some comedy direct from the open mic at the Capybara Lounge.
Well, it's time for the freaking event of the week.
Hey, how about that 24 Hours of Kincaid presented by Speedway Cycles up there in Anchorage, Saturday, June 18th and 19th, part of the Arctic MTB series. Can you imagine the splendor, the almost 24 hours of daylight, the walrus, the narwhal, the killer whale.
The elkhorn.
Right there in Kincaid Park. A lot of people don't know. Well, everyone in Anchorage knows, but all us locals down here in America have no idea.
The lower. We're in the lower.
I know. They call it America.
That was me shrugging.
It's like
that was my radio shrug noise. Like,
the original America.
America. So, yeah, we'll have a link in there on the show notes, and that's our friends from Speedway Cycles, of course, the folks that bring you Fatback Bicycles. So cheers, boys. We're at the top of the hill.
Top of the hill.
It's time.
We got a pinner, a peeber, and
some blue water.
A blue water.
Some water that probably comes out of some polluted river. It's filtered. Cheers, boys.
Cheers. Yes,
I hope it's not blue. Unless it tastes like Blue Moon. Or a raspberry.
It's quite wet.
Like a melted blue raspberry.
Tomorrow night, Clutch concert.
Oh, yes. Or for the Who's at Home last night's.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. We're doing that time warp thing again.
Thursday. Yeah. Tomorrow was yesterday. We'll have the same thing. We'll deja vu back to the time warp later in the show when we talk about the...
That's all, folks.
The test pilot's talking about, oh, yeah, well, yesterday. Well, tomorrow we're going to have a story that is actually yesterday in the time warp. Yeah, it's too complex to talk about.
No, it's just a we jump record. To the left.
Right.
To the right. Yeah.
And a pelvic thrust. It really drives them insane. Yeah. Hey, how about we end this fabulous beverage session and take a break here, boys.
Hey, when we come back, we'll have our special guest, Mr. Jeff Gilmore.
From the planet Lovetron. Amigos de Albises Gordas, let me introduce you to the secret of Los Gachos de las Pampas de Argentina, Capybara Butar, rich with all natural emollients harvested from the giant Capybaras Grandes. In just 1 week, your gushes will chill muy bien. You can find Capybara Butar in bodegas or the quiz strips in your town or village.
You are once again listening to Fat Bike Radio. Hey, everybody, we're back. We've invited Jeff Gilmore to join us as our special guest because Jeff is the real-life bicycle mechanic that has witnessed Fatback's dynasty of Iditarod Trail invitational champion rides from the inside out.
Welcome to the show, Jefe.
Thanks, fellas. That's awesome.
Yeah, so Jeff, maybe first tell our listener where you wrench and a bit about the shop you work at.
Sure. Let's see. I work at Beaver Sports here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I've been here for 18 years, which is a long time, obviously. And we literally work on everything, which is kind of interesting in the summer. So motorcycle wheels, people want us to build motorcycle wheels to recumbents and Walmart bikes. And then we get nice bikes in, too, which is actually a treat.
Recumbent motorcycle?
You adjust it. Yeah, right? No doubt.
Like, whoa.
I think I'm going to reserve that domain name, recumbentmotorcycle.com.
Oh. Yeah. Beaver Sports.
They're probably out there. Yeah.
Our man Kevin Breitenbach used to work there, right?
He did, yeah. I just seen him yesterday, actually. He was in the shop for a minute, too, so.
Wow.
Yep.
A Kevin sighting. Your clientele are a who's who of fat bike royalty. Jeff Oatley, John Lackey, Kevin Breitenbach, Heather Best. Do you work on Tim's bike, Tim Burnson?
No, I've never had to. I'd like to work on Tim's bike, but I haven't, no. But I've seen it.
Yeah. Did you ever work on Pete Bassinger's bike back in the day?
No, I never did. I've met him a couple times, but I never got the chance to work on his bike. He and Jeff Oatley were pretty good homies, and they raced and trained together a lot. So
he's like the Batman of fat bike racing. I'm Batman.
Yeah, he was a badass dude. Yeah,
yeah.
Oatley said he was really good at being cold. Sorry, he's really good at being cold and really good at walking. Which back then, that's a big deal. Some of those guys would walk like 170 miles for the ITI, which is just crazy.
Yeah,
you know. Back when we used to get a lot of snow, it was just unreal.
Back in the good old days, when you could walk thing.
Right on, man.
Going for a walk.
So, you know, you worked on all these guys' bikes. What special preparations do you perform to make a bike, you know, race ready for the ITI?
Well, let's see. I just go through everything, you know, like taking wheels apart, taking hubs apart, re-winterizing stuff, cleaning stuff out really well, and just checking on, you know, put a wrench to everything, check on everything, re-winterize the bottom bracket, the headset, anything that's got a bearing, I'll take apart and soak it and let it dry really well and then put it back together. So
what do you use for the winterizing process when you put it back together? Is it this
what grease I use?
Yeah, what type of grease really works in the cold up
well,
there?
Well, sure. It's a really thin cold weather grease. It's called Mag 1. And it's rated to like 60 below or 65 below, so it does the trick. It's really, really thin. You don't have to use a lot either because, you know, it's cold. You don't need anything that's that sheds water. You know, like you do if it's the summertime.
Right.
So
so dry.
It rolls really well in the cold. Yeah, never dry. Yeah, exactly. So
you could have told
us. Took a long time to figure that out.
You could have told us that you use like musk ox blubber.
Wait, I think I see a musk ox.
More lube.
There goes one.
That got awkward quick, but that's cool.
Those things are super sexy. But that's just me.
Yeah, dude, they smell amazing. You can smell them. Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
I guess that's why they have that name.
Yeah.
Musk.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty impressive.
So I'm fond of bringing beer to my bike shop guy because he's a boozer.
Nice.
And to show my appreciation when I bring stuff in there and he fixes my mistakes. So what's the best tip that a customer has ever gotten you, Rockstar Bike Mechanic?
I don't know. Well, I had somebody bring me beer this morning. I worked on a really fun guy bike this morning, an ex-Navy SEALs guy, and brought in beer for us at like 10 a.m. I was like, wow, all right, that's cool. But we've seen everything, you know, all kinds of treats and goodies, brownies and cookies, and some people will throw a few bucks, you know, as a tip, which is cool.
Right on.
So,
When I read that question, I totally missed the point of it because I was thinking maybe a customer gave him a tip on how to work on a bike better or something. Now I get it, though. Now
I was hoping he was going to say,
it makes way more sense now.
Somebody brought me a live Wolverine or something.
You know? Exactly, and a big hammer. Exactly. That's how you fix things. Exactly. That's awesome.
So what was the weirdest tip you ever got?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I've never had anything, you know, weird, like uncomfortable. Nothing from, like, an adult store or something. Like, whoa, dude, do you really want me to use this? That looks like that's going to be painful. No, I haven't got anything like that. So. But thanks.
Well, yeah. There's always a first time.
It would be really weird.
You can always mail stuff.
To, like, give the shirt right off of your back, come in after a ride all sweaty. And then with just bibs on, and then just hang around in this shop with just the bibs on.
Just your bibs on and all your man stuff hanging out. That's fantastic. Sure, I'll put your shirt on. That's cool. It's a little weird and cold, but that's cool. Yeah.
So what do you think about chairing the telethon for the San Gomez to Fairbanks for the White Mountain? Well, Maui's 100.
That's Maui Wowie talking there, folks.
We could auction off something.
You just want to go visit Fairbanks.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this point.
Come up in the spring. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that would be killer. You would have a lot of fun. We've got really cool trails like 20 seconds from the store that we could hop on and ride on, which is awesome. So we'll get you up here for the Whites. Plus, it's just cool being around all those badasses. It's just neat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Whites, is that basically the last race kind of the winter season?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it is. And so,
And March is El Primo weather, right?
Yeah, it's usually pretty nice, dude. And the trails are just super set up. And they're usually fast, which is awesome. You feel kind of like a rock star riding.
Down here, March comes in like a lion and out like a lamb. But in Alaska, March comes in like a crustafarian and leaves like a crustafarian.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. The trails get really set up. because it freezes and thaws, you know, so it'll freeze at night, thaw during the day, and in the morning the trails are just like a sidewalk. It's like I should be riding this easy in the nice. Yeah. No trail. Yeah, it's freaking cool. Cool because we work for it all winter too, though, you know, so.
Oh, yeah.
We ride real slow in the trail until they get set up, and they get set up, and get set up, and the next thing you know, you're kind of hauling ass.
That's next really thing cool, you know, old Jed's a millionaire. That's what I like to say.
You never know. Move to Beverly is what I heard.
You know, earlier in the show, you said you'd been at Beaver Sports for 18 years. Are you a lifetime Alaska resident, or did you migrate up there from the lower 48 or somewhere else?
I moved up here when I was pretty little, so I've been up here, God, I don't even know, almost 40 years probably. So I'm more or less a lifetime resident, you know. So
right on.
Been here for a while.
And now your son is actually wrenching with you, right?
Yeah, my son, Taco, they call him. He works right next to me. We've worked almost 5 years together, which is pretty cool.
Is that what he does to wheels or what? How do you get the name?
Well, because he likes tacos. So, like,
it's just literal.
He's like, tacos? Literally, yeah.
Right on.
And dude, down here, if we called everybody that likes tacos taco, like, it'd be like 75% tacos because we love tacos.
Oh, we got such a good place right down the street from us here that is one of the best in the city.
It's true. You can't get seal tacos or caribou tacos there, though.
No, true. Tilapia tacos, though.
That's unfortunate. That's cool.
Yep.
I think tacos are good, too, but that's just my opinion.
Right on. So, Jeff, if there's one bit of advice that you could pass along to someone looking to upgrade their current fatty, like, you know, what do you think the best bang for the buck is on an upgrade?
Well, save your money and buy something that's, you know, that's worth buying. A lot of people buy, you know, cheaper fat bikes because they're cheap, obviously, but. You know, you can get a lot of bike now for about $2,000, you know, I think. So true I think tough. The best bang for the buck on the market is, the Fatback Rhino is what we carry.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a really solid bike for the money.
So you buy your Fatback Rhino for $2,000 and you got money burning in your pocket. You want to buy yourself something pretty. What do you buy?
It comes suspension corrected too. So you can put a Bluto on the front of it. Now you've got kind of a super kick-ass mountain bike, you know.
So holy crud.
That's what I'm
into. Bluto. I never thought he'd go that direction.
I know. Hey.
Jeff.
You know, would you put anything plastic on your mountain bike, like carbon handlebars or carbon wheels or carbon seat post or carbon spokes even maybe? I don't know.
Carbon spokes sound neat, but most of my bikes have carbon, all that stuff that you just said. So,
yeah, we just got for a buddy. We just got an Envy carbon handlebar. Boy, they're pretty sweet, man. I gotta tell you,
nice stuff too.
Oh,
yeah,
it's so nice.
They make nice seat posts too. Yeah,
I'm not sure if it sounds like this or if it sounds different, but we should go get it and try it out. that's a stock specialized bulged handlebar from I think a custom fat bar or something.
Bar had a different sound to it.
Oh, true that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're having a big handlebar and grip discussion later. Focus group and I don't know what we're gonna do. We're gonna talk and stuff about bikes.
Nice.
So thanks for coming on the show and stuff.
Thanks for having me. That's cool.
You just want to have a let me just ask one more question. Is like,
do it.
Who out of the last? Well, let's just say out of the Fairbanks crew. So like you, Oatley, Tupper, any of the other fast cats up there. Who do you think is the best dancer?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'd like to see Jeff Oatley dance because he's pretty fun. So I'd put my money on Oatley, but that's just me.
Yeah, if you want somebody to dance for like 36 days straight.
Oh, he could do that, dude. He'd just be sitting there eating and drinking and being like getting his groove on, I promise you.
I know.
He's got that dialed. That's awesome.
Well, all right.
Sweet.
Thanks for coming on the program, Jeff.
Yep.
Yeah. You the man.
Thanks for hanging out through the technical difficulties earlier.
Yeah. Jeff and I are working on the unauthorized biography of Greg Maness. It's actually not actually unauthorized. Yeah. But
pretty stoked about that too,
Gomez. Semi-authorized.
Allegedly authorized.
Exactly. I can get you some explicit pictures if you want to.
That's why God invented Photoshop, my friend.
And saunas.
No,
and
saunas.
Saunas are fun too. That's a whole other story. That's awesome.
All right, Jeff.
Right on. Thanks for your time, fellas. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for your time. We're just here being idiots. You're the star of the show, so thank you for being on.
Yeah, you're a special guest.
Fun, thanks again, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye, Sigel.
Hey, that there was Mr. Jeff from up Fairbanks way, and wasn't he a heck of a guest? Because he made us look good, like most of our guests do. why don't we take a break here and... come back later and talk some more about stuff.
Jumbo USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Jumbo's American-made Ursa Major at JumboUSA.com.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It looks like it's time for the Fatty Farm Field Report.
The Fatty Farm Field Report is brought to you by Quiring Cycles. The Quiring Triple B is the fattest ride on two wheels, featuring the new generation of 5.05-inch tires. Visit QuiringCycles.net. See the next level of a bicycle exploration.
Right on, JK. Hey, guess what? The
chicken butt.
Yeah. the switch.
It was floating out there too long.
The switchboard is lighting up, lighting up with people. Welcome to the radio program. Who do we have on the line?
It's Carlson out in Utah. How's it going?
Oh, hey, man. Thanks for calling in.
What's up? Yeah.
I think yesterday, Dustin weighed in on our tire report.
Really?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. See how I went back and forward and back in time?
That I wasn't riding.
Right on, man.
So, Dustin, how do you feel about handlebars?
Yeah, I've got knowledge on the grips. Now, because of you guys, I actually got to review the AME heated grips a month or two ago. And so I can speak to those, they were a little expensive. That's what we found. And so I probably wouldn't have, tried them without the help of fatbike.com. Mm-hmm. But, after getting them sent out and trying them out, I mean, those things really turned out nice. Mm. I mean, they worked about as good as could possibly expect. You know, they were grips and they heated up and they stayed nice and warm. So. They did exactly as they advertised.
Right on.
What kind of grips do you use normally? Like, if you were going to go spend your own money, what would you order?
I got those Ori. I don't even know how to pronounce Ori grips.
I always say Ori, but
yeah, me too. I'm not sure if it's.
I was the Ori grip user. Yeah, I was the Ori grip user for years.
They're a little bit bigger. They got a bigger diameter.
Yeah.
They've got that square pattern to them, which I don't know. I kind of like it.
Nice soft rubber.
Cool, for lack of anything else. But I like the diameter bigger. I got a little bit. Maybe I've got bigger hands than some other people or whatever. But it just feels more comfortable with the bigger diameter, I believe.
Right on. I like there's some grips out there, like some of the Ergon grips, which they make them in different sizes for different hand sizes. I think that's right. Totally smart because my hands aren't that big, and I do like a little bit tinier grip.
Yeah, Ergon, and I've been testing these SQ Lab Ergo grips that come in three different sizes, and they happen to be, I ran them on that Borealis Crestone that we let quite a few people try that bike out. And everyone came back and said, what grips are those? So, and they really loved them. Now they're on Hank, and I don't think they're ever leaving that bike.
You can't yank it from Hank.
So, Dustin, on your ride, are you still using the stock handlebar, or have you changed out the stock handlebar?
I've got the stocker on there, but I don't know if you guys saw the news that Renthal just went to 35 millimeter cockpits.
Yeah, actually, I just saw that today.
I believe I'm going to upgrade.
For the stiffness, is that, you know, just the 35 is going to give you a little more control, or what do you think the actual benefit is going to be of another freaking bike standard?
Well, you know, I've got 35s on my skinny tire bike, you know, 2.3s or whatever, but and I like it. You know, it does feel nice. You have a lot of control there. It's a carbon bar. And then, like I said, I've always liked the Renthals. They just look cool, I think, you know, for lack of anything else. And just recently went to that, so I thought, what the hell, try it out. I don't want to run stock forever, right? Jeez.
Right.
You got to have some upgrade path on your ride.
You want to know what your stock specialized handlebar sounds like as a elk bugle?
Tell me.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they sound like.
Do you ever take your bars off and just play them like a saxophone?
Saxophone.
I will now. I will now, definitely.
All right, dude. Well, thanks for weighing in. We got a couple other callers on the line. You want to hang out? Right, you want to hang out, or you want to split?
Hang up on me, but I'll listen. How about that?
All right.
I can hold or whatever.
I can do that somehow. Let's see. Let me push the right button here. Bye. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, man.
Now I just have to push another button here.
At the sound of the bugle.
It's Mr. Josh Spice on the radio program now.
Josh Spice, I haven't talked to you
in guys,
forever.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Going good.
You know, it's like the second Josh, well, it's not a sighting, it's a listening, but when I was doing the tire story, I found one of Josh's pictures from back in the day that we're going to use in our tire story for yesterday.
Nice.
Which is actually tomorrow.
Nice.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. In Eugene, Oregon, and just trying to get out and explore the local awesome routes that are around here.
Yeah. I got my first tattoo in Eugene.
Is that a permanent move or just a visit?
It's a permanent move for the time being, yeah.
Right on. Yeah. I love Oregon, except for that Grants Pass area. I don't know. I get kind of crazy over there.
Really? So, Josh, you've called to tell us what your thoughts are on handlebar and grips. Lay it on us.
Yeah, I'm not a big technical rider, so mostly I'm looking at my bikes as some sort of tour bikes. So I got to have some comfort. And years ago, I bought the Originate Carbon Space Bar from the local bike shop in Fairbanks, Beaver Sports, when I had my Pugsley.
Mm-hmm. And we just talked to Jeff up there.
Yeah, we were just talking to Jeff Gilmore.
Oh, nice. Awesome. And those bars have gone on every single bike I've owned except my Fargo and now my Via. They've bounced around on a handful of bikes, and I absolutely love them. Every time I move away from them and I go to maybe a drop bar bike with aluminum bars or a flat bar that's aluminum, or even a different carbon bar, I hop back on those space bars, and it just feels so freaking comfortable. Yet they're wide, and it still has like a flat bar feel. They're like a, I think they're 20 degree sweep.
Oh, okay.
To them, but they're still wide. And the biggest thing that I notice is how much vibration dampening is in that carbon. I don't know, the way that they're woven, just specifically they're so smooth.
Yeah.
I know part of it has to do with most of my bikes have had either fat or 29 plus when I've ridden it, but still, like, I definitely notice a difference in those bars.
Yeah, I just, I've got the aluminum version of that not on a fat bike, but on another bike. And I agree with you. I like that kind of back sweep for certain kind of stuff. I'm just actually snooping over J&B's website to see if they still have the carbon version. And by cracky,
the only place that The only place I've seen it is actually on Amazon. It might be other places, but I know that you can still get it on Amazon.
Yeah,
it
says
like $130.
I got the privilege phenomenal. Of being able to look in their inventory, and it looks like they may still have a couple in stock. This is actually the distributor of the bar. So I shouldn't actually
be saying this because I want to buy a few more.
we can set you up, my man.
Right, and I mean the aluminum ones. Yeah. There's plenty of them, but the carbon one, I only see a couple left in stock up there at the old J&B Importers. They're the distributors, so your local bike shop can get that for you.
So is that cool. Is that space bar? Is that noticeably stiff, or like some carbon bars? Is it a little flexy when you get up and honk on it?
It's just got a tiny bit of flex to it. Not a ton. It seems like the weave of the carbon is more about taking up the smaller vibrations, kind of like a suspension system. Mm-hmm. You could set it up to take a hard hit, or you could set it up to take all kinds of little vibrations, and it's going to do better at one or the other. It seems like these bars do best with taking up and smoothing out like washboard and like really fine vibrations and stuff that you're going to be riding over.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of people feel like titanium is the wonder material for that.
Yeah, that's not. I got a set of, I think they're from Roddy, from Groovy Cycles.
Oh, okay.
And titanium does, it has a similar feel where it sucks up some of that little small vibrations that might rattle your teeth a little bit.
Hmm. And do you, with that 20?
I've tried the Answer 2020s, and they didn't. They were both not as comfortable as bars, and they didn't seem nearly as vibration dampening. They seem more just like the feel of kind of like a stiff, flat carbon bar with not a whole lot of sweep. Even though they had the same sweep, they just didn't have the same overall control. And the bend of the bars came out from the stem clamp area versus the space bars. The bend is about halfway in between the end of the bar and the center. Right about in the middle. And maybe that has something to do with the feel or the vibration dampening or whatever it may be, but I very much like the Originate Carbon space bar.
Cool. And do you use cloth tape then, or some sort of padded tape, handlebar tape as opposed to grips, or do you use grips?
I use pretty much exclusively ergon grips. Every time I've run just standard, cylindrical grips, I've had just too much pressure on the hands, like right, obviously right where the cylindrical, grip in the bar is. And any time I've ridden the ergons, it's been a very nice, kind of like just putting your hand down on the table and leaning forward type of feel.
Yeah, I agree.
I've never had hand issues with that. And I know a lot of people say, like, well, drop bars for touring or for hand comfort. And anytime I've run ergons and these carbon space bars, I've never, ever had a problem with hand comfort. And there's never been a need to move my hands off of the grips in any sort of way, shape, or form. And I have had problems on both, like wood chippers and other drop bars and other flat bars and other grips and all that, but I've never had it with the ergon and space bar, carbon space bar combo.
Ah, cool.
All right, man.
I love the way ergons make, it really makes me feel at home on a bike when I can be comfortable in that. And you're right, with cylindrical grips, it seems like you have hot spots in your hand area.
Yeah. And when you just like ride a rig that you don't, like, oh, I'm just going to ride this out. And it's like, oh, wait, no.
I get test bikes.
I don't have this one teched up to niceness. And
yeah. Like, I get test bikes in, and I always ride them stock how they come. And generally the second ride, they get the ear guns thrown in there.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it all has to do with your intent too. Like, if you're mostly just going out on day rides, you're probably never going to encounter a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do or anything, or like, you know, something's right and something's wrong at all. It's, I am just trying to set up my own bike such that if I want to or have to or have the ability to ride really far, no matter what, I'm going to be comfortable. And I'm more of a tourer than a technical rider. So having a sweat bar is fantastic. It still gives some control, but it does get a little techy. Not nearly as much as like a nice wide flat bar.
Right.
It's pretty straight. Yeah. But, you know, I'm always comfortable. And that's, for me, that's really what matters, because that's what will allow me to ride far or faster or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I think you hit a nail on the head there with the intent thing, because when I'm doing a beach ride or something that's longer and flatter and I'm going to be on the bike longer, I love the sweepier bars like you're talking about, and more of the Ergon. I mean, Ergon makes a lot of grips now. So my trail bike has Ergons on, but they're a little more like a round grip, but they still have an ergonomic shape to them. But I wouldn't be riding that particular bike for, you know, 4 or more hours. I would be riding that for an hour and be done with it probably. But I think, you know, definitely knowing the intent and tuning it for that type of riding is a great idea.
Well, cool, yeah, man.
Exactly. I've got a Time Muckluck that I pretty much have as a tour bike, and then I've got the Carbon Bear Grease that's got the Bluto on it, and I can swap fat wheels and 29 plus wheels back and forth on both bikes. And the Bear Grease is totally more of a, you know, race or technical ride, and the Muckluck is obviously the dirt tour. So I wouldn't necessarily put the carbon sweat bars on the Bear Grease, even though I have ridden it that way. I've mostly ridden it in winter in Alaska that way, and that was really nice, because especially in the cold, like if we're going to talk winter riding, when you take your hands from a flat bar position and you bring them back and just at a little bit of a swept angle, you have a more natural angle of your hands, wrists, and forearms, so you have better blood flow to your hands too, which is going to keep them warmer.
That's from a guy that lived in Fairbanks, folks.
There you go. One of the coldest spots in the habited part of the earth where the peoples are.
Hey, thanks for calling in, man. We're going to take a few more calls and keep rolling through the show.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to chat with you.
Good to talk to you, Josh.
All right. Catch you later. Thanks, man.
Dr. James Huber just walked into the operating theater. Yeah. So,
hey, you had some kind of limerick contest going on. You want to talk about that
I forgot to give away some stuff, so I came up with a limerick contest. So we had, and several people sent this stuff in, and I already sent out a bunch of stuff, but then two more people came, and I only have one left. So we have to decide between these two limericks. And the first one is from Chris Morton from Colorado. And
you want me to do that one, or you want?
Yeah. Oh, you go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. I got to get the meter right. for the limerick. There was a dude riding his fat reeb who had been drinking way too much mead. He ran a roadblock. He hit a peacock. He said, "Next time, I'll just stick with the weed." Or What about Thomas Callahan from Weedorado? JK, you want to give that one a go?
My one-up holds onto the fat. Nothing light about that. A couple short miles earn us big smiles. One-up is where it's at.
Oh, man. There's some serious like product placement in that limerick. So
I don't know.
What do you think?
I think just because I read it, I like the first one.
Dr. James Huber, the second one. Dr. James Huber says it's number one.
Number one. I think that might have been because it was.
No, he has to go potty. Number one.
Could have to do have something to do with peacocks or weed.
Yeah, or something.
Or something.
Hey, you know, so we've been talking about handlebars, and I just got to give a heads up to David. He was the guy that actually kind of wrote in a thing, because we put at the bottom of the show notes, if you got an idea for a show, let us know what it is. And he said, why don't you guys talk about handlebars? So that's kind of what we've been doing. And, you know, he notices stuff like Bruce likes to run with a Jones loop bar. And, you know, there's just people run different bars on their fat bikes for different stuff. And he said he uses the On One Mary bars, which I know people like those bars a lot. And I think it's similar to that space bar that Josh was talking about.
Mary. I like a 9 or 10 degree sweep. And I like flat bars because I like to run those little ergons with the little bar ends on there. And I don't want to be suffer the ridicule of my friends if I do riser bars and bar ends.
Well,
so I'll put spacers in there, run a flat bar because I like those little things. Because when you go, I mean, it helps you climb. I need all the help I can get.
I want coaster, big ape hanger.
Yeah.
Boy, ape hangers.
Fun.
Hey, a few guys also called into our, call-in listener line because they couldn't call in during the show. And we've got, we got like three different people that called in. Scott Peterson called in, Ricky DeLeos called in, and Colin Ford called in.
Fjord.
So let's throw those up on the show here, and we'll see what those guys had to say. This is also about handlebars, and when we come back, we'll do a little linkage.
Hey, fellow fat bike fans. I'm currently using Salsa Bend 3 bars on my Trek Barley 9.6. I really like the 17-degree bend that's on there, and with the double bend in the bar, I was able to stick with the stock stem that came with the Farley. I use the same bend bars on my 29er as well, and also use ergon grips for better comfort. My Farley's still rigid. I'm thinking about getting the blue toe one of these days. Doesn't seem necessary for winter use, which is my primary need for the blue toe for the Farley. I do think I have plenty of leverage at about 700 millimeters wide on the bar. I don't really want a much wider bar than that. We have too many narrow trees, and when you get going fast, it limits some of your cornering options near the trees too. So 690, 700 is plenty wide for me. Okay, thanks. Have a great day, you guys.
Hey, Gary, it's Ricky D from Maryland, and I'm just calling in to let you know about the handlebars and grips that I'm using on my Vertigo fat bike. So for years before I got the Vertigo fat bike, I've been riding with the Jones H-bars or the loop bars maybe since about 2006. I started off on the Karate Monkey with the Jones bars. I later put a couple pairs on my Manchester Titanium Single Speed and Pixie. Then in 2008, I went whole hog. I just went ahead and got a Jones Space Frame, replete with the Jones Loop Bar, and that was pretty cool because it had the complete loop around the front. So you can put more gadgets and even a little pack in the front. Which brings me to my Vertigo fat bike, which I got in 2012. And this time I wanted to try something different. I wanted to try a bar that didn't have as much sweep on it. Something with a little bit, but not quite as much as the Jones bars, is 45 degrees. I tried the Mary bars and other bars that didn't have as much sweep, like the Surly Torsion bar. Both of those were good, but they had a little bit more sweep than I wanted still, and they weren't wide enough. So I figured I had to do something custom, and that brought me to 7 Cycles up in Massachusetts. I'm familiar with their work, really well-made stuff, and I had a bar from them 10 years prior on my first Manchester Titanium 26-inch single speed. I sold it when I got into the swept bar scene, like the Jones and the Mary. So this new bar on the Vertigo is 700 millimeters wide with 20-degree bend on both sides. The bar is one diameter throughout, and they use a shim that goes from, was it 22.2 to 31.8 on my Thompson stem. There are many reasons why I love this bar. Well, first off, it's American made.
USA!
And second off, it's titanium. So it's going to be tough, it's going to be light, and with a little Scotch-Brite, it can always look new. Another reason I like the bar is because it is titanium. It flexes a little bit more than some of the other materials out there, or at least the way that these things are built, with one diameter all the way through. So it helps take up some of the jarring from hopping around, going through the rock gardens, and my hands don't get as beat up. The grits I've been using for years and years and years and years and years and years since the mid-90s have been the Ori's. They are still one of the best ones out there in my opinion, but there is a new king now for grips for me, and that new king is the ESIs, the silicon grips. For me, the ESIs are even softer without being too soft, but still absorbing some of the shock. But one of the big important things that it gives me that the Ori's didn't is that they don't slip. I have never gotten an ESI grip to slip. So besides the not slipping, there are a lot more options with the ESIs. You can get the skinny racer boy ones, the medium chunkies, and the extra chunkies. I started off with the extra chunkies. I thought those were a little too thick, so then I went down to the regular chunkies. Those were too thin, and then when the fit version came out, which is like thicker on the outer edges and then thinner in the middles, those were perfect. My hands don't hurt anymore, and I feel like the outer part doesn't slip as much as like when your hands get wet or your gloves get wet. On the Ori's, my hands slipped a little bit, but with the ESIs, that just doesn't happen. There are a couple of minuses for the ESIs versus the Ori's. One is that they're not offered in as many colors as the Ori's. That could be important for some. Match your bike perfectly. The other thing is that they're nowhere near as durable as the Ori's. That soft silicon is definitely not a match for the rubber that's used in those Ori's. I have quite a bit of chunks missing from the ends of my ESI grips after hitting trees or putting it on the ground, purposely or not. So I think that's it. 7 titanium, custom-made, custom-swept handlebars. And ESI Fit XC grips. Days good, brother. Thank you. Take it easy.
Hey, it's Colin from Denver. Handlebars that I'm running right now. I'm running some Answer Pro Taper, 785 millimeters wide handlebars. They are made of aluminum. And the grips I'm running some Ergon grips with the tiny little bar ends. They're my roommate's old grips. They're pretty good. Only thing I noticed is that when going downhill for extended period of time, it helps to have the grips angled downward so as you're not pounding into your wrists for no reason. Hope y'all are good. Enjoy the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for your thoughts. Glad you guys could call in. You know, a reminder to all you other people, you can call in anytime, day or night, 818-918-2453, and leave us a message about fat bike stuff. It's not like, you know, we don't need the content. You people are the stars of the show, so give us a call.
Gnomes or, you know, animal husbandry of any sort, really.
Adult things.
the occasional weekly, monthly dose of fat is a adult explicit rating.
Yeah, so, all of ours are always explicit, whether they're explicit or not.
I think I swore right away this time.
Probably. So we got a few links, obviously. You know, why do we keep putting Bruce's stuff up there? Because Bruce writes awesome shit. Oh, now we're explicit. But yeah,
Bruce is the bad.
Bruce.
Oh, no, shit's on FX.
Yeah, but okay.
Well, no, this is shit on AMC and FX. So, yeah.
Is it on NBC, ABC, or CBS? So, yeah. So we got some of the usual suspects in the fat bike links. What about those plus bike links, Gomez?
Peter Sagan is going to be on his nation's Olympic MTB. They have one position. And so, you know, Peter Sagan from
Slovakia,
from the Pro Peloton in road racing, who can wheelie and manually can ride his road bike up on the cars. Oh, it's going to be BA, dude.
I think he's looking for some Zika virus action.
Well, maybe. Because
somebody like Tyler Farrar or somebody, I don't know if it was him, it was some U.S. cyclist said they're not going because of the potential for Zika virus.
Isn't this where, like, the Avengers initiative somewhere?
I don't know. We got a call, though, so keep your thoughts to yourself.
No. There was dead air for a second.
Good color commentary, man. Yeah,
thanks, man. Hey.
Thank you, Brent.
That left eye gypsy curse is really fucking with your shit, dude.
Totally my chi up.
Hey, welcome to the radio program. Who do we have on the line?
This would be Dan Vold.
Hi, Dan. So you caught us in the middle of some cacophony of chicanery. How you doing?
I contacted every person that I knew that had, like, wild or cool or, in your case, the most awesome handlebars ever. So yeah, welcome to the show. Welcome to handlebars.com or something.
Yeah, luckily I had a moment to set my beer down and think about life and remember you asked for it. Or a call-in or something.
So I haven't seen these. What's unique about them? What's the deal? What's the plan?
Oh, I'm running a Black Sheep one-piece bar stem combo that's somewhere in the range of 30-plus inch wide, full pullback. I don't know.
With awesome. It's super curvy with almost, don't they have almost like a wing or a hood ornament, kind of like they're the wildest bars.
I need a picture. We need a picture of this in the show notes somehow.
I have a picture of your Black Sheep with the bars that you run and
show notes, baby.
Yeah, well, that'll be in the show notes. But do you notice that your whole truss fork and everything is tie? So do you have a lot of good vibration compliance with your hoopty bars?
Oh, quite a bit. There's substantial give movement with those over any of the carbon straight bars or aluminum or whatever you can get. So they're my definite choice of ways to go these days.
Not the least expensive idea, but they sound fantastic.
I'm telling you, you're gonna freak when you see these things. And Dan's new papa.
Right on.
I said, Dan, you're a new dad. It's almost Father's Day.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's coming up here.
June 19th, I think.
Oh, sweet.
So,
they're actually so nice. I had to have them make me another set for a almost built road cross super adventure bike that's being slowly assembled in my basement of horrors right now.
Really? So like a monster cross, like a 700C by 45C kind of
cow catcher on
the front. Do everything Salsa Fargo goes tie and curvy and moonlanderish or moon menish or black sheepish.
Yeah, it's
cow catcher.
It's sheep shagging at its best, I guess.
Nice. I can't wait to see that.
Cool, man.
Well, all right. Well, Dan's calling from Minneapolis.
Yeah, we got another call.
He's a Gnome Fest cousin.
Talk to So,
all right.
Thanks,
well,
Dan.
You guys have a good night.
Hey, man. Thanks for calling,
Dan.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
Bye. Yep.
Bye.
Hey, welcome to Gnome Illustrated. Tell us how gnomes have impacted your fetish lifestyle. No, I'm just kidding. It's Fat Bike Radio. Don't go away. I scared him away.
Hello, caller.
Are we broke the thing again?
He's probably like, those guys. Whoa, there he is. On? He's like, those guys are yammering on so much, I think I'll put the phone down and go to the fridge and get a beer.
I'm on the way to get a beer.
Welcome.
Who do we have? So who do we have talking?
This is Todd Shank.
Todd Shank!
Vancouver, Washington.
Dude, how's it going?
It's going great. It's going great. Your little message this morning certainly was pretty timely about handlebars, since that was the talk of our little trip last week across Washington State, was handlebars and, you know, who likes what, and certainly, you know, what makes your fingers buzz and what doesn't make your fingers buzz was the highlight of the conversation.
Very cool.
So what did you learn on this trip?
Yeah.
Well, I learned that an aluminum fork with Jones bars doesn't make my hands happy at all. You know, this is really the 15th iteration of the current fat bike that I'm riding, that I've been trying different things and different ways to set it up for riding. Mm-hmm. And I think the Jones bars just aren't the bars for my ulna nerve that, has my fingers buzzing pretty bad after, the trip that we just took.
So what? How are you using them? Are you doing a really long touring trip, or is it beach rides, or what conditions are you using them in?
I'm using the Jones bars mainly for bikepacking trips to have the extra capacity to attach more stuff to the bike and have some options with better hand positions, and I just wasn't getting comfortable with this last ride with them, even though I've rode them on an ECR previously. And it just wasn't doing me very good, that's for sure.
So do you attribute that then to the fork, you think, since you've had good luck with the bars in the past, or
ECR steel fork?
Quite possibly. It's the first time that I've done the aluminum fork with the bars. I thought it was possibly some positioning thing, so I moved some cockpit stem a little bit longer to, not be on top of the bars. But personally, I think it's the aluminum fork that the vibration was just driving my elbow and my hands crazy. I had to kind of stop doing what I was doing and go a different direction three-fourths of the way through the ride. I became the sag driver for the rest of the riders that were riding across Washington last week.
Wow. Well, that's too bad, but you learned something from that, so.
Well, I did, and, I don't think that fork's coming off the first chance that I get to put something else on. That's got a little bit of dampening, and that would be in the ways of one of those Ren Sports forks.
Oh, cool.
Should do fine. So that's the next thing on the board for some testing. Bluto's fine, but the Bluto just doesn't have the amount of great dampening that this Ren Sports fork has with the dual air.
Cool.
Are you going to be riding it more trail, or is this more on longer trips?
More on trail. Okay. The only reason I put the aluminum fork back on was to have the additional carrying capacity for the trip. We carried 7 liters of water. 5 to 7 was the minimum. There wasn't very many refill stops for water on this trip.
Gotcha.
So I needed the extra capacity to move things around. Well, there you go. You can't really put anything cages on a suspender fork because you're going to end up pulling the cable that's attached to the dynamo hub out every time the fork comes back up.
Yeah.
Dynamo hub. So we've been talking a little bit about forks in this handlebar discussion. I think next show our question should be, what freaking fork are you using?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to hear what people are. There's a couple out there that I haven't tried yet that I'd like to try. So, hey, next show, everybody. Everybody, we're going to talk about forks.
Places.
Freaking fork to have on your bike. Hey, Todd, thanks for calling in and giving us your opinion. Call in next week and we'll talk about forks. Or next, whenever we're on.
I will.
I don't know. It's summer.
I will.
Yeah, we're on our summer schedule, so we say next week, we mean next time.
We mean the
next time I text you.
The last Wednesday of June.
Yeah, whatever that is. The 29th.
Sounds good.
Yep. Hey, go math. Sounds and good. Calendar skills.
Good color commentary, dude.
Thanks, JK.
All right, Todd.
Best in the biz, man. Best in the biz.
All right, thank you very much. I'm going to grab a beer.
All right, man.
Bye. See you, Todd. Oh, dear Lord.
Holy crikeys.
I've lost the script.
That just says our show this evening, has been brought to you by the Bikes, Parts, and Chaos of Surly Bikes. Learn more about everything at surlybikes.com.
You can call anytime, 818-918-2453, anytime, day or night, and leave us a message.
Or yesterday.
Hey, or in the future. We've got live organic gnomes in our e-store that look a lot like red t-shirts now, but when you put them on, you'll know.
Hey, it's a live gnome. They're USA made gnomes too. These aren't no fur gnomes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what makes them special. That's what's gonna, and you know what these t-shirts are really just why they're here is for Father's Day. Your father deserves a kick-ass t-shirt.
That's true. These things don't come super quick, but
if you're a father,
send your dad a picture of it in by email if it doesn't show up by Father's Day.
Text your dad.
At least here's the intention of a gift.
Text your kid the link to the store and give him your credit card number.
It'll work out.
And next thing, old Jed's a millionaire.
Yeah, I think that's at shop.fatbike.com. We got other stuff on there too, and we'll be putting more things on there all the time.
Join us next time for more limericks and Vogon poetry from the fuzzy underbelly of we like to refer to
the weekly dose of elk calls.
Till then,
Brad, yo, bye.
Damn it.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.